Hi, this is Susie Larson, and thank you so much for listening to Live the Promise today. Our website is filled with even more powerful and encouraging interviews. Learn more by logging on to myfaithradio.com. So much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. So glad you tuned in, and a very happy Wednesday to you. So here's a question I have for you. You ready for this one? It's a tough one. I might mess with you just a little bit, but hang with me. Are you on the verge of quitting something? Are you on the verge of making a drastic decision? Are you on the verge of walking away, of pulling out of a commitment? Now, you know, your sacred yes is a topic that a book that I wrote and that I really care a lot about. And there's times we sign up for things that God never asked us to do. And there are times and seasons to graciously bow out of things. I think that's true. But as a rule, it's better to get your marching orders from the Lord and then continue and persevere even when it's hard. Sometimes we quit, many times we quit out of self-preservation, not because God has asked us to. We're quitting because it's hard, because it's scary, because we can be selfish. You know, that's just true for all of us. And I'm still thinking about yesterday's show with Andy Crouch. He's senior editor of Christianity Today, and he was talking about strength and weakness. And really, I thought about this all the way till I went to bed last night, that self-preservation and kingdom life, they're not compatible. I want you to think about that. Self-preservation and the kingdom gospel life, not compatible. But strength and weakness, they're completely compatible, because in our weakness, he's made strong, and he's strong in us. Well, today we're going to talk about our tendency to quit when things get hard. In fact, Nikki Koziarz, I hope I'm saying her name right, wrote a book titled Five Habits of a Woman Who Doesn't Quit. So excited for you to hear this show today. And if you're a guy and you're listening, these principles completely apply to you as well. So I want you to know, stay tuned, because I really believe when it's all said and done with this hour, you're going to be inspired to persevere. You'll be inspired to learn a little bit more about yourself when you feel like quitting. You'll be inspired to not let your emotions win the day, you know, to let principle and God's kingdom and his promises win the day. I'm going to get her on in just a moment. Second hour, you're going to hear a conversation I had with Focus on the Family's Dr. Greg Smalley about how to protect your marriage. And I want you to know, you know this if you listen often enough. He and Aaron come on 2 to 3 times a month, every other Wednesday, it seems. They were just on in studio with me a few days ago, and you knew if you listened that Greg's dad, Dr. Gary Smalley, went into hospice. This is last Thursday we were together. Well, Dr. Gary Smalley did pass away a few days ago. And so obviously Greg needs to be with his family. So we're dropping in a recorded show, a pre-recorded show with Greg. So that's up second hour. Always good conversation with Greg. So you're really in for a great treat today. So here's my question before I get Nikki on. What do you want most? What do you want most? Are you willing to forsake what you want now for what you want most? Let me tell you about my guest. In fact, this is what she says. She said, when did you start to believe you are weak, you're not able, that you want to quit, you need to give up, you don't deserve to win? I realized all the things that were keeping me stuck in the process of failure. My thoughts, my insecurities, my low self-esteem, and my disbelief in myself. I discovered I am, in fact, my own greatest enemy. And one day I'd had enough, and I said, no more. Maybe today is the day you're going to say no more. Let me tell you about Nikki. We'll get her on the show. Nikki Koziarz is a national speaker for retreats and conferences who serves with Proverbs 31 Ministries. She's got a passion for her generation to know and understand God's truth. One of the greatest joys in her life is being a wife to Chris and a mom to 3 amazing girls, Taylor, Hope, and Kennedy. What great names. They also have a slightly famous pug, Herman. You can find her resources on our website at myfaithradio.com. Nikki, so nice to meet you, and welcome to the program.
Thank you, Susie. What an honor it is to be with you today. You are one of my spiritual heroes, for sure.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Well, I was going to tell you, I told you this before the show, but I just love your book. And I said to myself in the office, I like this snarky girl. I just like her. It takes one to know one, I guess. That's for sure, huh?
Yes. That's right. That's right.
Oh, I love the tone of this book, and I love the content, and I cannot wait to dig in. Wondering if you've got a verse, and it can relate to your content or just one you've been thinking about these days. Got a verse you can share with us?
Yes, ma'am. Galatians 6:9. So we must not get tired of doing good, for we will reap at the proper time if we do not give up.
Talk about that passage.
That verse has changed everything for me. You know, I love everything about it. When I was studying it, it was that word, though, if. If we do not give up. Like, we want the harvest in our lives. We want the promises of God in our lives. But we've got to be willing to stick it out to get there.
Well, you write in this Five Habits of a Woman Who Doesn't Quit about just admissions of your own struggles with quitting. As much as you feel comfortable and you're able, tell us a bit about your backstory that led you to this point.
Well, you know, some of it's kind of funny and some of it's not so funny. But I have really kind of owned the title as the expert quitter. And I have quit big things and small things from the time I was a little girl up until even just this last week. You know, quitting has always been something I really struggled with. And a couple of years ago, though, my husband and I had a really hard conversation. And he said something to me that no wife ever wants to hear. He said, "Nikki, sometimes I'm just not sure I can count on you." And after he said those words to me, things were not very holy in our house for the next few moments. But the next morning I got up and I was, you know, spending some time with God and just studying the word and just really praying and asking God to help me through the situation. And the Lord really revealed to me some things in my life that I had said yes to God about, but I didn't see them all the way through. And I had this moment where I thought, if my husband sometimes thinks that he can't count on me, I wonder if God feels that way too. And through that hard reflection, I had to make that realization that, no, there's sometimes that I know God cannot count on me to stick something all the way through. And so I had to do something. I had to get behind somebody who could teach me what it was like to stick out a commitment. And God was so gracious enough to show me her in the Bible, and her name is Ruth.
And I cannot wait for you to make this application, her story to ours. Tell me this, though. Excuse me. Have you identified a number one motivator for quitting for most people, or do you discern that it's a whole mishmash of things?
Yeah, there's a couple things I'm really seeing in this generation. Number one, I think a lot of times when we're pursuing something for the kingdom of God, we think it kind of looks like being a rock star. And so when the thousands of Twitter followers don't come, or the YouTube video doesn't go viral, or the Facebook post doesn't get shared a million times, we can start to think in this culture that we live in, oh, what I'm doing must not be significant. So that's one of the reasons why I think we give up. Another reason why I think it is because, Susie, sometimes following after God is just hard. And I know you as a woman who, you know, you teach the word of God, you're doing ministry every single day. I know there's days where you're like, Lord, I'm doing this for your kingdom. Why does it have to be so hard?
Mm-hmm.
So those two reasons, I think, in the generation that we're living in right now are kind of the two that are popping out at me in the conversations that I'm having with people.
I'm wondering too, Nikki, and this would be on my generation, if we overparented our kids and made it too easy. If we saw them struggle, we threw them an air mattress. You know, if we saw them stumble or be rejected by their peers, we created play scenarios where that couldn't possibly happen. I mean, I hear that so often in people my age, and they're seeing now their young adult people not be prepared to persevere because they didn't want to let them struggle when they were young. And so you're so right. You get to this stage of life and it's like, this isn't supposed to be this hard, when indeed it actually is. I mean, that is part of the promise, isn't it?
It is. And, you know, I'm a mom now with kids, and we're doing the same thing to these kids now. Like, my daughter is a cheerleader, and my husband and I laugh at her cheer competition because they get trophies all the way through 16th place. And it's like, you know, sometimes when there comes a point where you've really got to understand, especially, you know, when it comes to serving God, you know, we have an enemy who is out to kill, steal, and destroy us. And so, of course, he would love for you to believe that following after God means you'll get a trophy every single day of your life. But the reality is there's a lot of hard days. There's a lot of days where it's just sowing seeds in the ground.
Indeed, indeed. In fact, I know the morning after you'd had that glorious conversation with your sweet honey, and you were looking for scripture, you found one actually that jumped out at you, and I'd love for you to speak to it here. Luke 16:10, whoever is faithful in very little is also faithful in much. How did God just bring this truth to a deeper level for you?
So, okay, because I'm a woman who wants to do great things for the kingdom of God, you know, I had to have this realization that if I wanted to get there, God was going to have to find me faithful here. And that meant in my marriage, in my home, with my husband, with these conversations, I was going to have to start sowing some good seeds. I was going to have to start stacking some days of faithfulness with the, and you know, I always cringe when I say the smaller things and the bigger things, because I think in God's eyes, it looks different than it tends to look in our culture. But the reality is, you know, we're big on asking God to do more and more. We want to see God's power in our generation. We want to see him do miraculous things. But has he found us faithful right where we are today?
So good. You said when we walk through times of feeling under our circumstances or weighed down by discouragement, that at times that discouragement is a direct result of our own disobedience. And I thought that was so insightful, Nikki, because we can kind of deal with this low level of melancholy. We can't really point to why. And as long as we're pointing to everybody else as being the reason and not our own maybe bowing out, we'll never, never grow through that situation. Talk to that, speak to that situation when your discouragement is a direct connection to maybe taking a shortcut that God never intended for you to take.
Yeah. So, okay, let's just use the example of weight, losing weight, being healthy, okay? So say I feel like God has said, Nikki, it's time to get healthy. It's time to start making some good decisions. And so I start off on that process and, you know, I'm gung-ho, but then things start to get a little bit hard and things get stressful. And then before I know it, I have completely fallen off of my healthy eating exercise plan. And then I'm standing on the scale and I'm wondering, how did this happen? And, you know, sure, I could blame the kids are stressing me out, my husband's stressing me out, work is busy. I can have all the excuses and all the blaming in the whole world. But the reality is it was my own disobedience. And it's the same thing with, you know, with your dreams. You know, I know a lot of women who want to write, who want to speak. And so, you know, I'm continually having this conversation with them. Are you being faithful right here? Are you every day pursuing that one next step in the right direction so that we're not standing at the end of our life one day looking back thinking, gosh, how much did I miss out on because of my disobedience in this situation and that situation?
Talking to Nikki Koziar's title of her book is Five Habits of a Woman Who Doesn't Quit. I love this book. So many quotable quotes, great content. Got a few copies. Love to get a copy into your hands. Tell me about a time that you wanted to quit and you didn't, or tell me about a time that you quit you wish you wouldn't have. Give me a call. You can call anonymously, 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. Or if you want to go into a drawing for a book, email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Put "don't quit" in the subject line. Give me your mailing address. We'll get you in the drawing. If you got a question for Nikki, you can include it in the email or in the phone call. More with Nikki when we return. Tuning in today, I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to Nikki Koziar, author of the great book, Five Habits of a Woman who doesn't quit. And I mentioned at the beginning of the show, guys, this is for you too. There's five principles we'll be walking through that all of us can learn from. I pray you'll stay tuned. And if you want to chime into the conversation at any time, please feel free. Nikki, you wrote that adversity brings the opportunity to introduce us to ourselves in a new way. And then this one, too, intentional steps of obedience mean more to God than we realize. I want you to just kind of connect those two, because you were talking about just that kind of assignment refinement. I think that's addresses one of the first habits you would talk about. But the whole idea of when we're projecting or pushing off that kind of self-reflection, we're not going to grow. But if we walk through adversity, we can actually find ourselves and learn things about ourselves in a new way. And in that place, not underestimate the power of those small steps of faith. Take it from there, if you would.
Yeah, so the habit number one of the woman who doesn't quit is she accepts the assignment of refinement. Now, Susie, maybe because you are a little bit wiser than me, maybe you use this word a lot, but I don't typically call up my girlfriends and say, hey, girl, God's just refining me so much today. It's awesome. Like, we as a culture, we don't talk like that. And so I think that, you know, we as a church, and I mean like the whole church, we've done great with this, you know, God is grace, God is good, and he is, like, he is all those things. But there are also some things in our lives that God has to refine. He has to, you know, remove from us so that we can become that person that he dreamed that we would be one day. And I think, you know, with the assignment of refinement, we can think, okay, it's just this one big thing in my life I have to go through. And in the book, I walk you through Ruth's assignment of refinement, which she lost her husband. She was left with this very bitter mother-in-law. That in itself was an assignment of refinement, a big one. But she had continual assignments of refinement throughout her whole story. And so adversity does bring the opportunity for you and I to look at ourselves in a new way. It was like that conversation I had with my husband. I had the opportunity to either just reject it and say, whatever, that's his feeling, that's how he thinks, or I can stop and I can say to myself, is there something that I need to grow from this situation right now? Because we can either go through assignments of refinement, just kind of go through the motions, or we can grow through it.
Well, you know, I think it was Spurgeon who said we can have as much of God as we want. And to the degree that we humble ourselves and pursue God, will we see on greater measures our need for him? And I think in that place, it's all refinement. I mean, it truly is. I feel like to go from strength to strength and glory to glory, shining ever brighter to the full light of day, if you're not walking into a season of refinement, you're walking out of one, I think, you know.
Right.
And what an opportunity to become like Christ in the process. And love this quote from your book. You said, I run when things get hard. I quit when I don't like how things are turning out. The thought of staying planted anywhere makes me feel like it's going against the grain of who I am. But the day came when I got fed up with the cycle of defeat. And since then, I've been a woman on a mission to reverse the effects of quitting on my life. Nikki, speak to the young woman listening today who's felt like a free spirit up until she just heard this quote, thinking all this movement is part of who I am, but now realizing, no, this has been more about self-preservation than it has been about obedience. What do you say?
That's tough, Susie, because it has been such a struggle for me to stay grounded where God has me. I remember as a teenager, my dad just screaming at me one day, like, you just always want to run from everything hard. And I did, like, even as a teenager. And so, you know, I think when you are so passionate about pursuing the heart of God, he is going to call you to particular places in your life where you're going to have to stay planted and stay rooted for a season. You know, we live on this fixer-upper farm, and we have these giant oak trees all around this farm, and I'm so grateful that I can look at them every single day because God reminds me, you got to stay deeply rooted right now. And, you know, I think one of the things that is really important through this process of becoming a person, not just a woman, a person who doesn't quit, is seeking after God's discernment to know when your season is finished and when you're trying to quit your season. There's a big difference between the two of those.
If you can you repeat that? Because that was so good. Big difference between discerning when your season is finished and when you feel like quitting before it's finished. Is that what you said?
Wow. Yes, that's what I said. Yes.
Wow, that's so good. Well, one of the things you said is sometimes quitting appears to have no effect until we take time to reflect. We are going to, I promise you, we're going to get through these five disciplines or five habits, but I just want to establish this because let's say someone has the habit of quitting and they're like, what? It didn't, you know, it's so. Created a little relational conflict for a moment, but it's okay. But there are greater waves. It ripples out. So speak to that, that sometimes you don't see it right away. Doesn't mean it's not causing an impact.
Right. And I think the best example that I could share personally for that is the day that my husband and I were sitting in a counselor's office ready to give up on our marriage. And it was such a realization to me of how bad things had gotten between the two of us and me not even realizing how much I had been quitting. You know, sometimes we think, okay, I'm just not going to respond to his text message, or I'm just not going to call him back, or I'm not going to say hello, or I'm just not going to do that. And I call those moments blindsided quitting moments. It's those moments where we don't think that anything that we're doing has an effect on that situation. But then one day you're sitting in a counseling office and you have a counselor looking in you in the eyes and you're just not sure that you can go back and repair everything that had been broken. And it's not just with marriage, you know, I think with careers and with jobs and with kids, you know, being a mom, oh my goodness, I've wanted to quit motherhood so many times. And, you know, maybe I don't actually hand in a resignation paper, but there are times when I start to check out, you know, I start to think, fine, if you want to act that way, then just go do it. And so those are those assignments of refinement. You know, are you willing to accept those hard places where God wants to take you to see the fulfillment of his promise in your life?
I so appreciate that you made this point, Nikki, because you're so right that we let go of really, really important things without a seeming consequence initially. Jeff Olson wrote this book a long time ago. It's a secular book, but I think it's fantastic. It's called The Slight Edge. And he said, does it matter if you quit brushing your teeth? Well, not today, but if you keep not brushing your teeth, your teeth will fall out. Does it matter if you quit kissing your spouse? Not today, but if you keep not doing that. But isn't that how it goes, where we kind of loosen our grip on the things that matter most, and then we wonder, how did the drift happen over time?
Yes, know? Yes, for sure.
Talking to Nikki Koziarz, title of her book, Five Habits of a Woman Who Doesn't Quit. I've seen some emails come in. I want to get your name in the drawing. Why don't you email me, but don't quit in the subject line. Give me your mailing address. If you've got a question, comment, want to chime in that way, please feel free. Susie@myfaithradio.com. Susie@myfaithradio.com. You only go in the drawing if you give me your mailing address, just simply because I can't email you Nikki's book. I got to give you a hard copy, okay? Susie@myfaithradio.com. If you have a question you want to chime in on the air, if you're too shy, you can pass it on to Grace, 877-93-FAITH, 877-933-2484. Back in a moment. Hope you're having a great day today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to Nikki Koziarz. Love that name. Title of her book is Five Habits of a Woman Who Doesn't Quit. Really great, great book. And it's already bottom of the hour, and we've barely touched on the first one. It goes to show you there's just lots of content here. So the first habit is you accept the assignment of refinement. And I want to move on to that second one quickly here, but I got to ask you to speak to this, because you say how we manage our assignment of refinement determines what our next assignment will be. Very, very true. Say a word about that.
Yeah, so I think that goes back to that Bible verse, you know, that God has to find us faithful where we are here in order for us to get there.
Yeah.
And, you know, if Ruth, through her story, if she maybe changed her course, you know, in the process of saying yes to Naomi and yes to God through that story. If she had not gone that direction, then she would have missed it. And so I think also, Susie, you know, God really blesses a heart that is willing to walk through those hard places. And I think sometimes, you know, just like Job, we're tested and we're refined. We're constantly in that place where God is challenging us. So I do believe that it does make a difference on how we go through this assignment, what our next assignment is going to be.
Indeed. So this habit one, you accept the assignment of refinement. Second habit, you follow through with your commitments despite how you feel. Boy, that's a big one. Speak to that one.
Well, you know, I think it's really easy to stick out a commitment when it's 70 degrees and sunny
out,
right?
Come on, yes.
But when we start to go through some situations that get a little messy, that get a little hard, I can promise you that you're going to have days where you don't feel like sticking out your commitment. And the one thing that I have discovered about my own feelings is that when I let my feelings dictate my direction, it always ends in destruction. But when I let my feelings dictate a direction of leading me towards God, instead of detouring away from Him, that is when I start to see the fulfillment of His promises in my life. So we do. We have to make that decision. You know, am I going to stick this out despite how I feel today, tomorrow, and the next day?
Okay, you wrote this. With God, what seems impossible is just the peak of a miracle. Love that. And you said, it's time to write new endings to the stories from our past that haunt us. It's time to learn new patterns so we can begin experiencing victories. What happened for you, Nikki, when you started to envision a new future? Because it is so true that enemy is a student of our past, and he knows exactly what buttons to push, what threats to throw out, what taunts and harassments to say. And he wants us to connect the dots on those things just to hold us captive. What shifted for you, and what did that look like when you decided, okay, my past is not going to dictate my future. I'm going to be part of a new story and the kind of finish that God has for me. Talk about that process for you.
Yeah, so I'm going to try to keep this short because I know we don't have a ton of time for me to go into all the details of this. But when I was 19 years old, I actually ended up pregnant, and I was not married, and went through a very difficult season in the church with my family. Like, it was a really hard to walk through it. And I won't get into everything right now, but I remember one night just sitting there thinking that, you know, the Lord would never use me again, that I had ruined His reputation and it was over. And so I quit. I quit serving God. And I remember just feeling so miserable, because when God has called you to do something, like, that misery is going to come when you're not doing it and nothing will satisfy you. And one night I was listening to, I won't say who it is, but a very well-known preacher on TV, and he said the words, your history is not your destiny. And I know, like, that was like 10 years ago. So we've heard that word a lot. We've heard that phrase a lot now. But when I heard those words, I was like, yeah, like, I don't have to be this girl who wears this title of you got pregnant before you're married. I had this shift inside of me. Now, it did not happen instantly. Like, I didn't just walk into Proverbs 31 Ministries the next day and say, hey, God, I'm here to speak and write for you. Like, it was a long process of chasing after what God had for me.
You know, I'm looking at this other quote. I pulled so many, as I said, momentary feelings will always try to convince us to forfeit our faithfulness. I want you to hear this again. Momentary feelings will always try to convince us to forfeit our faithfulness. I think the reason this is so important is because there are so many exit ramps that aren't from the Lord that Emmy would love for us to take. And as Nikki said, they do determine a different outcome. Doesn't mean that you're less saved, doesn't mean you're less loved, but I do believe it means it's a different story and it's not your best case scenario. God can redeem it all, but He really wants, His will is our best case scenario. Speak to, as you started to persevere, as you decided to stick with it instead of quit, what was some of the fruit that you saw in your life, Nikki?
So definitely there was a long season of walking a very humble, quiet road. But I think One of the first times that I shared my story publicly, I was at a mom's group. And, you know, it was one of those things where you are paid with a potted flower pot to come speak, you know, Starbucks gift card, one of those kind of things, like very small event. But I just remember afterwards a woman coming up to me, and she just looked at me and she was like, me too, me too. And I realized the more vulnerable I was with women, even then, I realized that people were more willing to accept some of God's truth and accept some of what God's word says because I was willing to say, I don't understand this either. I totally screwed this thing up too. I am so messed up. And so under that umbrella of, you know, we are, you know, not even close to perfection. Like that is not a word that I would ever, you know, describe myself. But I think just being willing to be vulnerable with people has helped me to see just what God can do through those Me Too conversations. Mm.
This quote made me laugh out loud in my office. You wrote, "Can I be honest with you? Writing a book about not giving up might have been the dumbest idea I've ever had." Right smack dab in the middle of all this wisdom. But that is how it is for us. Well, talk about this. How can we tell if we're overcommitted and it's healthier for us to step back and follow through because it's the right thing to do? How do you discern that?
Well, Susie, I think you have the book out there on that.
I have the feeling you've got some things to say about this one.
Well, you know, I do think there are times when we have overcommitted ourselves. And I definitely, there's a story that I tell in the book where I was trying to be room mom for one of my kids. And I had completely overcommitted myself and it ended up being such a flop. But I think one of the biggest signals that we can start to look through or look for from other people is when we ask this question, what's it like on the other side of me? When people start to get frustrated and they start to, you know, like how my husband had that conversation that day, that's a good clue that we have potentially overcommitted ourselves and we might need to step back and reevaluate, read Susie's book or even read The Purpose with the Best. Yeah, it's like, you know, go seek that wisdom out and really discern, is this what my yes to God is?
Very good. Okay, so the first habit is you accept the assignment of refinement. Second is you follow through with your commitments despite how you feel. The third habit, a non-quitter stays open to the movement of God. Love that. Say more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is my favorite habit. I don't really like the first two, but this one I really love. Because, you know, here's what I discovered through Ruth. Because she was willing to, like, kind of unclench her fist and not bring her agenda or her plan before God and say, okay, Lord, I think if we're going to do A, B, and C, then this is going to happen and we're going to end up here. Because we never saw her do that. She completely stayed open to where he wanted to take her. And Susie, I have this really bad habit at night that I fall asleep with my fist really tightly closed. And I read this article that you can get arthritis if you sleep like that. So every night I have been laying my head on the pillow and I've had to say to myself, literally, Nikki, fist open, fist open. And so when things start to feel like they're not going in the direction that I want them to go, when I'm ready to give up on a plan, a commitment, or something because it's not going the way I want it to go, I have to stop and say, fist open, Nikki. What is God trying to do through this situation? And Susie, I think this is where people miss God the most. They feel like I have this plan, I have this vision from God, and then it looks nothing like they thought it was supposed to look, and so they walk away.
Wow. You wrote this, I've seen how many quitzillas have deep wounds from past failures. Quitzilla is her little term for us Godzilla girls who quit, right? I've seen how many quitzillas have deep wounds from past failures. They have tried and failed repeatedly. Every quitzilla has a voice of doubt that's always competing with the voice of truth. Wow. And again, you think about this from the outside, you can hold yourself in contempt because you've quit. But on the inside, you're this brokenhearted girl that's like, there's too much at stake. I need to pull back. How does a girl find some healing as far as the movement of God? A guy as well, men that are maybe afraid to even start because they don't want to fail, to just find that assurance in Christ, because sometimes we fail, sometimes we win, but either way, we're good. We're good in Him, you know?
Right, right. Yeah, and for a woman like myself who has struggled with a lifetime of giving up, a lifetime of quitting, I can so relate to that. But you know what? There's a verse in 2 Timothy 4:7 that I think really helps push people through this habit. It's, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And, you know, I think sometimes when we are in that place, the quitzilla, which is a person who is furious, fed up, and fast to walk away, we might need to just stop for a second and discern, am I willing to keep fighting this good fight so that I can finish that race, so ultimately I can keep the faith that God is trying to develop in me?
Wow, so good. You mentioned this earlier, but I'd love for you to speak to it a little bit more. You said when we are quitting because we're angry or bitter, it will always lead to regret. And yet that is, seems, Nikki, when most people quit. I'd love for you just to talk about the ripple effect, not only in a person's life, but in the greater kingdom story, that if a lot of us react in our angst and we quit when we're mad and we're bitter, we walk away from the church, the relationship, the commitment. I mean, what is the ripple effect of that?
You know, I think the example that comes to my mind the most is in marriages. And I actually got an email from a woman just the other day who had read through the book. And she said, I have been a quitzilla in my marriage. I have been so furious, fed up, and fast to walk away. And, you know, I think in any situation that it starts to get messy and it starts to get complicated, our emotions, that's where that she follows through despite how she feels comes in, because our emotions will always try to convince us that we're right. They will. And I look at, you know, situations at work, not at Proverbs 31 Ministries, because, you know, we are just so awesome there. We don't have any of this stuff that ever happens. But just hypothetically speaking, I have seen, you know, women who have reacted too quickly. And when we react too quickly, we can miss what God is trying to do.
You know, I was so impressed. We're going to take a break here in a moment, but I was so impressed how you'd received an email that was pretty point your finger at you, and it was a little snarky and prickly, and you wanted to react, which anybody would, but you paused and thought, this is not characteristic of this woman. I'm just going to give grace. I'm going to give what I need, which is our next habit that we'll talk about on the other side of the break. But you gave it time, and then the next day, the woman sends another email apologizing profusely because she was reacting. And how many times we continue a cycle of reaction when if we could give others what we so desperately need, we'd break that cycle. That's the next habit. The fourth habit of a non-quitter is they give others what they themselves need. Talking to Nikki Koziarz. More great conversation when we return. This walk of faith requires, calls for an intimate walk with Jesus where we keep that ear bent toward heaven. We don't make assumptions. We respond to the nudge of the Holy Spirit. We do the next thing He tells us. And you know, sometimes He tells us to run when we'd rather rest. He tells us to rest when we'd rather run. He tells us to commit when we'd rather pull back, and vice versa. Just that's what it calls for. But the thing is, His will for us is our best case scenario. Really glad you tuned in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Talking to Nikki Koziarz today. Title of her book is 5 Habits of a Woman Who Doesn't Quit. We've got a few copies. I'd love to get a copy in your hands. I see those emails coming in. Keep them coming. Susie@myfaithradio.com. Put don't quit in the subject line. Give me your mailing address and also include a comment, question, if you'd like to chime into the conversation. We've got about 8-9 minutes left with Nikki. Dawn chimes in and she says, could you please talk about how to discern when God wants you to be done with a season versus when I want to be done with a season? She said, I'm feeling nudged, but I need neon lights. Isn't that the truth for us sometimes? How do you discern, Nikki, if it's you wanting to be done versus God nudging you to be done?
That is a great question. So I think one of the greatest things that we can do in our life is to surround ourselves with people who will speak truth into us. And so I talk about in the book my friend Wendy, who is a therapist, who will often exchange advice for pool dates and dinners, which is a great thing to have. But, you know, we have got to have those people that we can have those hard, honest conversations with to be able to discern what direction God is leading us. I think also, Susie, another really important thing is to know that God is never going to ask you to do something that doesn't line up with His word. And so taking those, any emotions that you're feeling about that situation and lining it up with God's word, seeking counsel. I am a huge believer in counseling and, you know, talking to your pastor. You know, I had to have several conversations with my pastor through this writing process. But we've got to be willing to have conversations with people so we can know which way we're supposed to go.
I got to say, my sister and I, my sister's birthday, by the way, happy birthday, Karen, if you're listening, 5-0. She looks like she's 2-0. But anyway, we were talking about both of us just looking back over our lives, a commitment, each of us, you know, just places where we wanted to leave and God wouldn't release us and we thought it would kill us. Two separate situations, but both of us persevered. Both of us look back and go, we wouldn't have the relationships that we have today had we gone the way that we wanted to. Even our flesh was screaming because it's like, this is not comfortable. But comfort is not an indicator that you're necessarily in the middle of God's will, is it?
No, it's not. Yeah. In fact, victory is often found in the most uncomfortable places in our lives.
Come on, somebody, that'll preach. All right. So just a quick just recap. Number one is a habit of a non-quitter is you accept the assignment of refinement. Number two, you follow through with your commitments despite how you feel. You stay open to the movement of God. Now, the fourth one is a non-quitter gives others what they themselves need. This was really powerful, and this will require something of us. So say more.
Yes, it does. And it'll cost you something. It'll cost you your pride. It'll cost you your selfishness. It'll cost you, you know, having your fist completely closed. If I was going to sum up this habit in two words, it would be emotional generosity. Mm. And Susie, I think it's really easy for us to, you know, write checks or to donate items or to, you know, send food to someone, like those types of things. Sometimes it stretches us, but I have found that emotional generosity is one of the hardest forms of generosity to give. And so as we are working through these situations where we're trying to decide, are we supposed to quit? Are we supposed to keep going? We've got to get to this place where we're asking ourselves, am I giving this situation what I need? And one of the things that I have come to understand about emotional generosity is where we sow it may not be where we reap it.
Wow, so that is good.
If my husband, you know, is not giving me that emotional generosity, I've got to keep giving it to him. But ultimately, I have seen how God will use somebody else to give me what I need, a word of encouragement, a word of direction, a word of hope. God has got it.
Hmm. You shared a story in the book of your little one. I thought it was hilarious where she ran out of line to go get her dad because you're waiting in line. People are behind you. You're kind of feeling embarrassed and impatient going, hello. So you said, go get the toilet paper from dad. Well, that darling little girl grabbed it and then slid it across the floor because she was distracted by some really colorful cereal. And I just thought that was hysterical. I would have belly laughed, but a woman wasn't as impressed and made some comments about her. And I felt my own heart rate go up and you wanted to defend her, but you extended grace. And I mean, that is what a Christ-like woman does, even though we all have our bents toward reaction. But that's the kind of thing. There's times where you have to almost take sides against yourself and die to yourself so that Christ can live through you. Isn't that the truth?
Yes, you definitely do.
Wow. Okay, the final habit, a non-quitter moves forward in faith. So this isn't a buck yourself up, you know, hike yourself up by your bootstraps. This is a faith engagement to persevere, isn't it?
It is. And you know, Susie, I think sometimes we tend to think like one day I'm going to arrive at this place where I have faith. Like, you know, I'm not going to doubt God anymore. I'm not going to not trust this process. But the reality is that that's why I use the words she moved forward in faith, because it's a constant process. It's from faith to faith to faith. It doesn't have a start and a stopping place.
Well, we just got a few minutes left before we pray, Nikki. And as you've pondered and studied and thought your way through the book of Ruth. What are some aspects of her character and her story that have left a real imprint on your heart?
Yeah, so definitely all of the five habits were things that I saw Ruth live out. They were not things that I personally, you know, have experienced. I'm working through these habits with everybody who's reading this book. But these were the things that I really saw her consistently do over and over and over. And, you know, Susie, at the very end of Ruth's story, we get to this place where she and Boaz get married, and that in itself was such an awesome situation. But then she has this baby, and this baby becomes the generational line of Jesus Christ. And when I read that part of the story and I had that realization that because Ruth didn't quit, she didn't give up, she persevered through all of this pain, that God chose to use her to impact a generational line, I mean, I just had this moment where I was just like, wow, what could God do in this generation today if just a couple more people decided that they were going to stick their commitment all the way through? I think, you know, things like we would have more babies that were adopted, and we would have more less homeless people, and there would be less needs in the church. Like, I think it would be a really beautiful picture of God's kingdom here on earth.
Well, I probably have time for one more question before we pray. Nikki, that's fantastic, and that's exactly the vision I was hoping you would cast. I think it's just beautiful. What is the fruit that you've seen in your life just from taking one faith step at a time and trusting God and hanging in there, not quitting when you've maybe been wanting to?
Well, in the book, I tell the story about this fixer-upper farm that we live on, and that was one of the things that I wanted to give up on, and I didn't. And almost every day, God shows me just a little picture of, see what you would have missed out on if you would have given up on this and see that. Now, Susie, there are still things in my life with my kids and my marriage and, you know, even in my ministry that I'm still waiting to see the faithfulness of God through. Like, I don't want anyone to think you're going to read this book and then just boom, it's going to happen, because it is this continual process with God. But I feel like Ruth gave all of us the steps that we can continue to take in order to get to that place of being found faithful in God's eyes.
When I think of Ruth, I think of courage and humility and strength and perseverance. Just love that. Love what you've drawn from her story, Nikki. As we wrap up, I'm wondering if you pray for that woman listening today, maybe that man listening today, that person who realizes they've got a history of quick starts and quick stops. Would you pray for that person?
Yes, absolutely. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the reality of what it means to follow after you. We thank you that you have opened our eyes to see that. And so, Holy Spirit, I just ask right now that the one thing that you would make greater in each of our lives is your anointing, that it would just pour out on us so that we can have that perseverance to press through those painful places in order to be able to be found faithful in your eyes. Lord God, I declare that this generation is going to shake things up in the name of Jesus, that we're going to start to see the movement of God, because we're going to be people that you can look down from heaven to earth and say, I can count on them, and I can count on them, and I can count on them. Lord Jesus, we raise our hands to you today, and we ask in the name and the power and the might of Jesus Christ that you would do miraculous things in and through us so that we too can impact generational lines. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen and amen. Nikki, what an absolute delight to get to know you today, and thank you for sharing your heart and your passion with us.
Thank you, Susie. This was awesome.
I hope you'll come back and visit us again.
Anytime.
Okay, title of her book is Five Habits of a Woman Who Doesn't Quit.
I'm going to run and not grow weary. I'm going to walk and not grow faint. Rise up on wings like eagles to soar. I know in everything you are with me. I know you're working as I wait. Lift me up on wings like eagles to soar.
Wow, I hope you were encouraged today. You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. In just a bit, you'll find a podcast of today's program up on our website at myfaithradio.com. Now, coming up next for Hour 2, you're going to hear a recorded conversation I had with Greg Smalley. Just remember him and his family in your prayers. Dr. Gary Smalley passed away recently, and Greg is with his family right now. God bless you. Hour 2 is up next.